Hello, it's me, your host, Jack, from the Slick Realms. And we have our community manager,
Darcy from the Slush Realms.
And our news anchor,
I'm Fiona from the Dotty Worlds, keeping you up to date everything that's happening in the Bean Boo world.
And today we will be doing a episode on all types of Beanie Boo architecture throughout the different four main cultures. The Danglers, the Slicks, the Slushes, and the Dotties. We will be starting with Dangler architecture and predominantly their castles. I've gone a bit in depth on this in the past, but we'll get a lot more in depth with their castles. To start off with, the Dangler castles highly resemble typical Star Fortress castles found throughout the world. But they have additional spikes that protrude in the traditionally empty areas, and where the gate is traditionally positioned, they have it positioned in between the spike and the exterior area to make it extremely difficult to break in, as well as to prevent any ladders. The protruding star fortresses have a roof, and in the overlapping gap between the roof, they have this sort of mesh cage where if anyone tries to escape, they can get attacked from above, and the windows also allow them to be attacked from the sides, also just have the ladders pushed away without any threat being posed to them and allowing them to attack however they want. The only way to properly penetrate these star fortresses is either breaking through the gate, which is obviously quite difficult because you have to go in between the two walls, which obviously requires you to go underneath these meshes, which they'll just be firing down you, and between these two walls where they'll have heavy artillery and defenses concentrated. But another weak point is you can try and use a ladder on the other part of the star fortress that protrudes obviously between the traditional protruding parts of the star fortress, because it doesn't have a roof, but this is just so it can mount more artillery. But an interesting thing they do is they have a protruding bit near the top of the walls to make it so it's very difficult to balance it on top of, and they will make this out of extremely sharp metal, so too much movement on this will just end up with the ladder being cut, so they don't actually have to do anything most of the time, because the ladders will often end up being cut apart, allowing for defensive maneuverments. Also, since they're a lot, less balanced, it's very difficult to get up this point. But in addition, just to even reach the castle, there's a whole lot of other Herculean things. We can talk about this later when we talk about the defensive styles of these castles. But just to break down briefly, they have these extremely deep trenches, two of them, and they're essentially there. They're sort of zigzagging, and when you get closer to the interior part of it, they pull in just to allow for an entrance, but the exterior parts are really pushed further out. But because of this, it forces the soldiers to be bottlenecked into an area where they can be easily attacked from all directions by danglers. And then on the outer wall, again, there is a sort of zigzagging wall, as well as these, to make the forces be bottlenecked, as well as allow them to be attacked from both sides more effectively. And the only way to get in is one of these zigzags. Actually, it touches the initial wall, allowing for them to cross the bridge, but this bridge will typically break. In times of war, they'll typically break the bridge to prevent anyone from accessing, but it is still close enough for some flying magic to be achieved, but also to prevent any underground assaults by digging tunnels. These trenches actually go down to the molten core of the earth, which obviously these are dug over thousands of years, but it's, again, we can really get into this later on the specifics of the walls, because there's a lot of very advanced things that the danglers do, but we can just focus on the main castle. Now, once you've breached the initial walls of the castle, there is this, the castle has the lookout towers, which obviously have these staircases, which you actually see in a lot of castles found in medieval Europe, where essentially if a force would be charging up, they would not be able to attack, because as typically, Beanie Boos are also right-handed or left-handed, depending on which species, but they're predominantly right-handed. Since it's on the right-hand side, the attackers can stab, but the attackers can't stab because there is a wall on the side that prevents them from physically stabbing, but the defenders can just strike down with ease, while the attackers can't very easily attack the defenders, making it extremely hard to get up these towers. And once you get up the tower, you have to go down, which is when you can go into the core of the city. But danglers actually have a breach area, where essentially, once you reach there, there's flat ground separating the main castle from the city, because you break through the initial wall, and then there's another plateau made of bricks, as well as a separating part, so you break that in, and you have to break down another set of walls, essentially, and it's much more difficult because all the guards by this point would have retreated into this very small area. And also to prevent anybody from hiding against the wall, they of course have matriculations, but they also have matriculations along the wall at specific angles to prevent any ladder climbing. So they'll just be able to stab anyone that tries to ladder climb, meaning that you have to break through the gate, and it's about 5 stories. Typically these castles will be about 5 stories of just guard fortifications in these positions that put guards in, you know, obviously defensive positions, making it quite hard to pierce through. They'll have cover, they'll be able to utilize the staircases. You'll have to try and climb up certain areas with ladders where they can just kick them down. And then once you've climbed up that, you get into the core city, and obviously the houses are very defensive for in case of emergencies, but compared to the rest it won't be that difficult. And then you have the core castle, which is essentially also multi-tiered, similar to the rest of the city, but it's also designed that once you've reached it, it can be physically sealed off to prevent anyone leaving, meaning you have to starve them out. And because of the large amounts of food stored, typically in the many layers, which can be pulled up to the castle once they've breached the initial walls, as well as farms in there that will and livestock that will allow them to outlast, it becomes very tedious, as once you've broken down the walls, you've probably lost a large amount of your forces. And obviously this makes it typically not worth it to break down the castle, but if you don't break down the castle, they can rebuild the fortress, so it forces them into these situations where they either have to waste all the progress they've made or spend this last-ditch effort trying to claim this very small piece of land. And this is typically how the Dotty Dangler Castle survives so long, by making each initial step just not worth it, but you can't uncommit, so you have to essentially force your forces to either fall, which typically happens because they get trapped behind enemy lines, not being capable of retreating, but not being able to push forward. And the danglers who have these massive grain stores and underground farms, obviously they can use their, you know, powers to accelerate food growth, makes it so you often won't survive a siege against them unless you use super weapons to pierce their defenses, which obviously they have counters for, but was initially incredibly effective until they were able to counter it. But still, this is how some of them pierce. But that's the basic architecture of a Dangler castle. We can continue on with the Danglers another time, but for now we'll be focusing on our next case study, the Slick's typical castles. We will start by looking at the defenses that surround the castle, and then the castle itself, like we just did with the Dangler castle, though this will have noticeably less defenses and more focused on attacking in case of an offense or assault levied against it, as the Slicks have quite a lot more offensive power, whereas the Danglers focus a lot more on the offensive power, and this can be obviously observed a lot. Typically, the Slicks' walls will be circular, and they'll have these massive outposts that reach the height of mountains, and what they will use within these outposts is they'll have super weapons that charge off the sun, or they can charge off massive amounts of energy that constantly stored there by the people working there, meaning that if there's an initial assault, they'll be able to fire these massive energy bursts that can take down most defensive things trying to protect the assault attackers, or they can be utilized just to deal massive initial damage. And then they'll have smaller long-range weaponry or just traditional magic to do aerial bombardments, just do bombardments to prevent them from getting into rest and try and prevent them from getting closer. Now, of course, if these walls are breached, they are relatively weak compared to the Dangler walls, but they're still made of, I would say, typically compressed stone or other similar materials. Compressed stone is just stone that's been compressed through slick magic. Essentially, they'll just superheat the stone until it's malleable enough to be compressed, because because the magic is pushing in on the atoms, essentially, and causing them to get closer and closer and closer. Is pretty much how it works. We can get a lot more into that when we talk about forging techniques of the Slicks, but it's pretty much how it works, and it's stronger than stone, but obviously the Danglers use some specialized things that involve compressing over millions of years using time magic, but The Slick Stone is relatively weak compared to them, and a lot of other Beanaboos as well. But once the walls are breached, typically they'll just have a main gate that can be breached relatively easily. If you can get onto the castle is multi-tiered, essentially. You'll have one level, have a main staircase, and gates on each other side. So pretty much drawbridges on all other sides, and then I'll have one main staircase, and there'll be a moat around that, which can act defensively. So you have to try and charge up this uphill battle, or they have these other drawbridges, which can they can typically launch an attack to surround anybody that doesn't notice them, because they'll typically be pulled in and hidden. So what they'll do is they'll draw their main opponent force onto the staircase, while they'll have a large portion of their force fighting a defensive battle, luring them in further, and then they'll release some of the forces from the drawbridges once they've been encircled enough, which is a key point. They can pull people in through these staircases to encircle them. It's a very powerful thing they can do in typical battles. Also, these drawbridges allow them to just release forces into battle when they might not be expected. Of course, if they are known the positions of, they can be attacked, but because their drawbridges aren't typically out, and they're melded in with the walls, typically using some forms of magic to hide their position or make it so they just part of the wall, it would be easier to just breach the wall itself, which obviously is not going to be an easy feat because they've obviously just compressed it with some steel and some other stuff, making the walls very difficult to destroy. But once you've got up the initial staircase, there is a lair, a balcony, where they'll have many slicks who have been firing down the opponents, and they can retreat further into the castle. And on this additional first layer is pretty much a series of mazes where anybody that's trapped that knows the mazes can escape and encircle more of the opponents inside using their quick attack power to destroy the squadrons that have now been split up within that maze. And using secret passages, they can escape, meaning that the opponents will often get lost within these mazes and these slicks can destroy them, destroying even more, encircling them even if they have smaller numbers, using some forms of guerrilla tactics to destroy them. Now, this initial maze obviously being a maze, but it does serve other purposes. It does have some utilities, but typically these utilities are just going to be sleeping quarters and places like that. They will be destroyed once, you know, the initial fighting has begun to prevent any rest. And because these mazes are imbued with magic, obviously most other creatures or other Beanaboo races will find it quite uncomfortable, other than slicks, because of the increased heat. Obviously, within the castle, they've increased the heat, so the slicks feel pretty relatively comfortable. It's also acts as a tactic, because most other Beanaboos, especially the Slushers, their predominant foe that they will face, will feel extremely uncomfortable, reducing their effectiveness as a fighting force. Now, once you get up onto the additional layer, there is two staircases that lead up onto another further layer. Now, obviously, they have more hidden trapdoors and more stuff like that, but the main thing about these staircases is once the majority of these slicks have retreated up or enough to still maintain a fighting force, the other slicks can obviously get up through secret passages or stuff like that. They can turn into ramps, or they can turn into, you know, walls or things like that, depending on the type of castle, meaning that essentially they can just fire down and they'll have to try and get up, and the opponents or the attacking force will have to try and get up with ladders, which obviously, considering the slick's ability to conjure fire and stuff like that, is quite difficult. So obviously, if you don't get up before all the slicks have retreated, or before the commander has of that castle has considered it's safe to pull up those stairs, it's very difficult to conquer the castle past that point. But even if you do, there's a giant spiral staircase, a giant spiral on top, a giant spire that's extremely tall, even taller than the outer walls, and it pierces the clouds. It's got these windows on the outside, and once the door is sealed, obviously the gate on the front, once it's sealed with a lot of magic, you'll have to probably climb up through one of the windows, which can eventually be broken down with enough force, but there's slicks in these, and they'll release continuous attacks, just meaning that they'll launch attacks from all directions, but they will be destroyed if you seize them for long enough, because they don't have that much food store, so obviously it'll last like a couple of years. Unless they get a resupply or something, they can get a resupply through, you know, a slick battalion. But the issue is, obviously, this castle can act as a super weapon. By channeling massive amounts of the energy through the slicks within, the castle can actually charge up an aerial bombardment that can wipe out entire armies, but does severe damage to the castle and the city itself, so it's typically a last resort. But because of this, they have typically designed it, so even if you concede them for long enough for them to fail, they will be able to charge the super weapon before that and just obliterate your army, or obliterate it enough that it's disorganized and they can charge out and defeat you. So they don't need to hold out for that long, they just need to hold out for that super weapon to charge, or for them to get back up in the form of, you know, other super weapons from the Slick Armada. It's obviously making it an incredibly difficult castle to defeat or penetrate. For a midway break, I will hand it over to our news anchor.
Thanks, Jack. This is Fiona giving you an update on the latest Beanie Boo news. The big thing at the moment is the upcoming Dengala elections. At the moment, we are in the early phases of it, picking candidates, getting public opinions, and determining policies. Over the course of the next 3 months, we will have the election progressing and the results. The three major parties will provide stability in the time of war. They are the pro-isolationist party, which is support has increased 15%. And the next party is the Diplomacy and International Relations Party. It's been losing ground with the war and it's down 35%. The next party is the Anti-Super Weapons Party, and which is against any weapons of mass destruction. It is now up 15%. And there is a fourth party now, a new party, a nationalist party, which only gained 1% in the last election and is now polling at 10% due to the impact of the war on the general public. Now I'll hand you over to Jack for just a quick update on the process of how the elections are going to be held.
The elections are typically held within areas which have similar climates are grouped together, because typically these areas have more of the same issues in common, and once these areas are grouped together based on the population, they will be assigned values which allow them to elect which government controls that local area. And once that occurs, obviously each of these areas will have seats, and all these seats will vote overall on what policies they think should be decided. And that's typically how elections are held. Obviously, it has changed over time, depending on the political situation. But also, there is three core branches of government. The royal family, which controls the military, and which is often elected from the family of the royal family, which are highly skilled military leaders, but they were kicked out of controlling the whole country after they amassed too much power, but now they are obviously prized for their extreme military prowess. The core parties, the main government that controls policies and can give instructions to typical civilians or other government branches, and the seats of office, which can control the economy. The seats of office will elect the government and then vote on the policies, but they will also be able to control the economy, sanctions, things like that. So the government, or the obviously leader, controls what policies are requested. The people that are in the seats control the economy and vote on whether the policies can be accepted. And the royal family controls the military. And that's the core political power system of the Danglers. And now back to Fiona to conclude this segment.
Okay, thanks, Jack. So we'll be keeping you updated on the progress of the election over the coming weeks. Also, the updates on the war, which is pretty much continuing as normal, or any other breaking news. Thanks for listening to this segment. Now back to Jack for the continuation on the architecture of the next realm.
Thanks, Fiona. Now on to the next segment on the Slush Realm's castles. To start off with, the Slush Realm's defensive structure that surround the castle will obviously be our first priority. Then we can talk about the landscape surrounding the Slush castles, because these are often tailored specifically using creation magic differently to the other castles because it provides more defenses, often meaning that they can have quite similar patterns in the environment around them. And then we can talk about the castle itself and some of the defenses surrounding the inside of the castle itself and its capabilities. We will start off with the initial defenses. Typical slush cities will start off with a traditional wall made of some standard stone or some other alloy mixed in with stone to make it slightly stronger than regular stone, and it will be obviously strengthened or hardened using creation magic depending on the city. These are traditional walls, obviously depending on the city. They can be different, but typically they may have some holes into the ground with some moats to add a little bit more defenses, but they're not that complicated typically. Now, once you reach the initial city, we can talk about the houses later, but it's typically similar to most other civilizations to this technological degree. Obviously, there's quite a lot of differences, but these slushes don't have extreme differences such as the danglers or that much other stuff such as the dotties that we can talk about later. But once you get to the next layer of the city, because there's multiple walls, the next layer of the city has a higher wall, and once you get to that higher wall, once you go through it, there's a staircase that leads up to the next layer of the city, and the city elevates itself continuously, meaning that you need to go up to the city, which is continuously increasing, not like just a hill, but they'll have these staircases that are obviously heavily defended, and it'll have another layer of city that's flattened, where these slushes can relax typically and very easily without having to deal with extreme inclines, but the typical invading force will have to deal with extreme difficulty of inclines, also making it quite difficult to, you know, obviously deal with ladders, because if, you know, a person can just kick you off the ladder, but if you try to attack them, there's an entire army waiting for you up there. It makes it a lot harder than if there's just one, you know, soldier on top of a wall, meaning that it's quite difficult to penetrate these, other than the main entrance gates, which are relatively easy to penetrate with a bit of magical force, but obviously it's a lot more difficult getting up these points. But the main point of slush defenses are, once someone gets in, utilizing things to prevent them from making much more progress, because the staircases obviously can be utilized through ice magic, typically stored in the castle, to release frozen spikes or freeze the stairs or create physical barriers to delay the intruders and allow more time to prepare or build up more forces, making it quite difficult to penetrate these unless you have a very large force or specific counter magic. And this continues up multiple layers. Typically there'll be 5 tiers of layers, and then you get to the final gate, which is extremely large, made of ornate steel, comprised of multiple layers that have been fused together as if it looks like they're made to be, you know, living like some sort of plant using creation magic. Typically they'll show, you know, different plants or different living creatures made to look quite lifelike using this creation magic to manipulate it and bend it into the gates, as well as making the gates sealed against most magic. But once you get past the gate, there it will typically be on a rocky cliff, which will then get thinner and thinner and thinner until there is a very long rock bridge that can't handle much weight, but also leads to a bottleneck, and will be imbued with many hidden spells like ice magic or other things like this. But once you break into the castle, it'll typically be on top of a mountain, and it'll be very tall and very ornate, again made of more of the similar living plant-like stuff, but it will be nearly as tall as the clouds, or even taller, slightly shorter than the traditional slick castle, but obviously a lot more ornate and a lot more large in size, and it'll be imbued with many magical spells and defensive barriers to prevent penetration of the castle, not through physical means, but through magical means, meaning that they can decrease the temperature, freeze the ground, release ice spikes, ice meteors, you know, very, very specific different types of magic that are very advanced. And because of this, the castle acts more as a conduit, using its intricate plant pathways to actually act as magic channeling, to act as giant ceiling. But because of this, the castle is more ornate and less focused on physical defenses, meaning that it's probably some of the most beautiful castles out there among the B2B world because of this ornate, obviously, structure that they've created out of it, creating that out of, you know, physical, utilizing the magic to make it look alive, and some of them will even resemble castles that come out of flowers, and the flowers will look, like, lifelike and look like real roses or things like that, and they can be glowing certain shades of color when they utilize the magic, obviously making them quite defensive, but also making them incredibly beautiful. We will next go on to the Oddies and their castles, the defenses around them, and also how this allows them to utilize their unique traits to defend, but also attack while under siege, making them incredibly hard to assault for long periods of time. The typical Dottie castle will obviously be a standard wall, typically made out of some lightweight materials that are a lot thicker than other walls to allow them to achieve the same amount of equal resistance, but still allowing them to be formed much quicker and will be formed out of lots of these parts attached together through magic because of this, because it allows them to assemble them far quicker, essentially allowing them to assemble castles in a couple of weeks compared to other castle assembly times. Obviously, the Dangle is taking the longest, but because of this, they can assemble castles and take control of an area in extremely quick times. But sadly, because of this, they obviously do not have as ornate castles or castles that can last for as long. But to make up with this, they will typically have these platforms on the edges of the walls that can actually levitate, allowing the Dotties to stand on top of these, and they will fly outside on top of the battle and allowing them to attack from behind the lines, then hop back onto it once it's descended, and allowing for guerrilla warfare attacks from all directions before they've even laid siege to the castle, or while laying siege, they can attack the back lines, destroying siege equipment, and dealing damage to food, you know, communication networks, many vital things, whilst still surviving. And obviously this is quite useful, but once the walls are pierced, they'll typically have a series of interconnected bridges on multiple levels, as well as a lot of verticality within their city. The typical or shortest house would have about 3 stories, whereas some of the taller ones would have 5 to maybe 7 stories even, depending on how tall they are, the housing is, allowing them to move quite vertically, as well as multiple bridges coming out of the castle, which is typically a hill, which is made of an extremely slippery substance, preventing an initial assault from on the top of the castle, meaning they have to climb the outside walls, which are extremely tall, and all while being assaulted by the Dotties from the bridges, which cover the whole city, allowing them to jump down and attack them, and then jump back up, or utilize light magic to deliver decisive blows to their castles or their camping spots. But once the initial walls have been pierced and they've got onto the bridges and have begun attacking them, you might think their movement would be restricted to that main castle, making them far less capable of moving around. But the core, obviously, the core top part of the tower is a fusion of multiple parts forming a spiral, but these can actually come apart to reveal multiple flying platforms, as well as a essentially flying platform that allows the core parts of the Dotties to survey and deliver decisive attacks, whilst allowing even more Dotties to utilize their skills even while fully surrounded. But obviously, once the main part of the castle is breached, they will run out of magic if they are forced to stay in the air for too long, but this still allows them to deliver decisive attacks while completely surrounded. And obviously this is very key to their strategy, allowing them to deliver decisive attacks from any direction. And also their castle is partially formed out of many lightweight materials, but also the gold that runs through it allows them to actually channel the light magic to move the castles at extreme speeds, the flying platforms at extreme speeds for short times to deliver even faster assaults. When obviously they are even further encircled, they can just also get away utilizing this channeling built up magic within the castle through this gold, meaning it's extremely hard to obviously siege these cities without an advanced force capable of counteracting these Dotties. I think that's going to be it for the Dottie castle. Now on to our community manager, Darcy.
Thanks, Jack. For this week, we have no questions sent in by any fans, but once again, I myself have a question for you. What non-Beanie Boos, like non-traditional Beanie Boos, have impacts on the Beanie Booverse?
Well, obviously there's quite a lot, but there's three major non-Beanie Boos I would say have the largest impact. Obviously we have the Blowhardges, utilized by the Slushers. They are their core C-Force, allowing them to take down enemy ships with extreme speed, traverse underwater to collect intel. They are very vital to the Slushers' naval power. The Saurons, they're crocodiles utilized by the Slushers, Slicks, a specific type of crocodile. Essentially, they can utilize similar magics to the Slicks, except in their physical body, allowing them to utilize explosive strength and release fire from their mouths. They are a ground unit that allows the Slicks to push through major large forces, even if that are typically cannon fodder, they would wear them down. But since the Sirens are more physical strength and less magical, they can push through these large forces because of their extreme endurance and physical capabilities. And then I would also say the Fromages, which are a type of flying cat. They're utilized by many Beanie Boos. They're most prominently used by the Danglers. They can utilize wind magic similar to the Danglers, so obviously the Danglers would be the most specialized in utilizing them, but they are key in air capabilities because while a lot of Beanie Boos can fly, they can't fly long distances, but Fromages can also fly through space by creating air bubbles, allowing them to traverse space without using extreme magical items or magical techniques that are extremely hard to utilize. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Well, that's it for me. Bye.
Well, that's it for me. Bye.
And that's it for me. Bye. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Happy 2025. 2025.